I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to the 80th Psalm. We're going to read just selected verses, 1 through 7 and 16 through 19. The 80th Psalm. Verses 1 to 7 and 16 through 19. To the leader on lilies, a covenant of Asaph, a psalm. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us. Restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us the scorn of our neighbors. Our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. But let your hand be upon the one at your right hand, the one whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Now, it seems like, in some ways, that Halloween was just a few days ago, doesn't it? With all the hustle and the bustle of trunk-or-treat, and then getting ready in Thanksgiving, and getting ready for Christmas music, and the Christmas season, and Advent. Where's it all gone? Communion was in November. Thanksgiving came along, and late this year, which gave us what seemed like an even shorter time to prepare in Advent. We have had our Advent services and preparations, our Advent booklet, our hanging of the greens, Bible studies, children's programs, Christmas cantata, Christmas Eve communion, shopping, 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 fighting traffic, perhaps fighting family, at some of those family and community gatherings that we've had, worship services, union service tonight, another plug, shamelessly, with our choir singing, at Emmanuel Full Gospel Tabernacle, so 6 o'clock. Decorating, decorating, and now undecorating. And then there are all of those who have been struck with illnesses in the last few months, going through tests, treatments. Just can't wait for January to get here, can you? Just wait. Well, no, I'm not going to add any more to your stress because January is already full. So, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I wonder how many would raise a hand if I said how many of us are feeling burned out right about now. If the smiles that I just saw and the nods are any indication, a majority of us would probably say, you know, I resemble that remark. How many long for a period of rest and restoration after all of this busyness that has been going on during this time? Well, you know, that was an ongoing plea of the psalmists in many of the Psalms. Those different authors of the various Psalms continually were pleading for restoration. We could go to many different ones, not just for today, but any number of times, on any given day, and find that plea for restoration along with that human tendency to want those enemies to be taken care of, those who have harmed us, or perhaps added to all of our stress and that sense of being burned out. So what does this particular psalm have to do with us today? And you might think it's a stretch. Sometimes they are. But I want us to think for a few moments in particular about some of what this psalmist was experiencing, but most of all his plea in the midst of feeling burned out and wiped out and almost overwhelmed, his plea. The plea that the congregation is called upon to repeat on three different occasions, "Restore us, O God. Let your face shine that we may be saved." Now, while I agree with most scholars that this passage probably comes from the northern part of the kingdom, and that the writer is speaking about the desolation and the plight of the nation with the Assyrian Empire approaching, I do think that the psalm also speaks to our postmodern world and the near overwhelming sense of worry, the bustle of life. What is the next day going to bring, much less the next year? And especially when we've been so busy and busy and busy. The people to whom he is writing and seeking to encourage here are in dire straits. They have felt so overwhelmed, so burned out with worry about enemies, worry about jobs, worry about food, worry about places to live. And I know this is old stuff that has nothing to do with the postmodern world. But they were worried about jobs. They were worried about food. They were worried about clothing. They were worried about making it from day to day. And they were worried about the world situation with armies on the march. The people are in dire straits. In fact, he says they're in such dire straits that they seem to drink their own tears and their neighbors scorn them. And they feel like an unprotected vine. But the psalmist also realizes and calls to their minds that part of that is their own doing, because they have angered God. They have angered God. The more they prospered, the less they gave of their time and of themselves. They gave to God, the one to whom they owed all of their future, but they only gave a little, and their prayers were always so selfish. The psalmist reminds them when he asks the question of God, "O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers?" He knows that part of that answer is because of the way the people are praying, the anger that they have brought upon themselves. They had their own social and cultural business and administrative structures which they felt they needed oftentimes more than open sincerity with God. In fact, sometimes rather than seek God's guidance daily with a truly desirous spirit, God was pushed off to the side in the midst of all the busyness of trying to make a living. Though the writer recognizes God as the great shepherd of Israel, her protector, her guide, the one enthroned upon the cherubim, this would probably be a reference to the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant. He also believed that the cherubim were there to uphold God's heavenly throne. He realizes the people, because of their own sense of self-confidence, as opposed to confidence in God's presence, because of a busyness of life which pushed God to the fringes and which results not just in burning the candle at both ends, but I imagine there are some of us who burn the candle in the middle at the same time. He recognized that and he called upon the people to gather for worship, not as a distraction. "I don't have the time. Well, you know, I've suffered through it enough. Well, my mom, my dad, the preacher, I grew up in his house, or the deacon, chair of deacons. We were there every time the doors were open. I got my fill when I was growing up. He calls upon them to recognize that and to open their hearts and their minds and their spirits to plead to God for restoration, for redemption. But only when they could come with a contrite heart. In the midst of this, the psalmist gives a testimony of hope, of confidence in God that God can and will save them. That even in the middle of their busyness, if they will pause and sincerely call upon God for that restoration, that God will restore their lives. The people wandered when they did gather. And they wondered why God seemed angry because they wandered away. When they hoped to be given comfort because they were God's people, they found little relief, symbolized here by the drinking of their own tears. They forgot how little they could really do on their own to bring about true happiness. In fact, even sometimes all the gathering that we do, if we come with the wrong spirit, can lead us to burn out. Coming for all the services, all the worship, all the preparation, if we don't come with an open spirit, it will cause us to burn out. Even in our religion. The psalmist, though, realizes that only when God is allowed to shine forth in us and through us to show His true power and glory can salvation come, can restoration be had, can we overcome that sense of being burned out. Burnout from sin. Burnout from busyness. Burnout from turning our backs on God. The psalmist requests and then offers testimony of God's restoration. But not just spiritual restoration. Total restoration. In verses 3, 7, and 19, he calls for that restoration that we might be saved. Not just from external enemies, and while that is a major focus here, he's also asking that God would restore us and save us from internal enemies, from our own selves and our own selfishness. As one of my colleagues often reminds me in conversations, I won't tell you his name, but his initials are Dr. Tom Devaney. We'll be talking, and every now and then he will say, "Yeah, well, you know, Pogo once said, we've met the enemy, and he's us." And I do remember that. I do remember Pogo, the cartoon. There's some other Pogo statements that come up too, but that's the one that fits here. We have met the enemy, and he is us. Oftentimes, that's what happens. Many times, it's not the enemies outside, but we point our fingers at them and we wonder about them. Why? Because it takes our attention off of the burnout from the enemies within. And so the psalmist here is not just talking about restoration. Restore us, O God, from external enemies, but even from ourselves. Even from ourselves. The busyness which takes us away from God. The attitudes of self-sufficiency that we have. The sense that we have all we need without coming together and gathering and calling upon God with others for worship and support. All of these, along with other excuses, are internal enemies. But that is part of the problem. As one writer states, life cannot guarantee its own immortality, whether in a single organism or in a group, united to form a culture. Life is God's prerogative. We cannot really do. It is only God when we allow Him to do so. So, I guess the question is, are you feeling burned out here at the end of 2013? One Old Testament scholar writes, and I quote, "After humiliation at the hands of neighbors and enemies, there is a solemn pause by the psalmist, and then an affirmation of unconquerable hope in light beyond darkness and salvation beyond despair. Those who are nurtured by the power of God's presence," he confidently says, "will not turn back. Even when feeling the burnout of doing things. But will find God and God's deep restoration of the heart, the soul, and the mind." What does it take? It takes a recognition of the reasons that we are burning out. It takes a commitment to call on God, to listen to the things that we have learned and the things He still has to teach. To commit ourselves not to turn back, but to still seek His name. To willingly say, "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts, in any way You see fit. Let Your face shine, that we may be saved." When we do, we will find that deep restoration of heart, soul, and mind, even in the middle of all the busyness that seeks to burn us out. If we'll call upon Him with willing hearts. And that is our challenge as 2013 ends. It was the same challenge as 2012 ended. It'll be the same challenge as we enter and eventually end 2014. To approach God, not just at the end of one year and the beginning of another, with an open heart, but to be open to that restoration, to let God shine into us and through us and heal us, that we might be saved from our own burnout, that the burning that is seen will be God's light shining through you and me in a world of darkness. Feeling burned out? Then let us pray, "Restore us, O Lord God of hosts. Let Your face shine, that we may be saved." May we pray. O Lord God, we do so many times get so caught up, even in the busyness of our religious duties, that our spirits and our hearts and our minds are not truly open to Your restoration. Help us, even in the busy times of life, to call upon Your Spirit to shine, to restore us in ways that only You can do. We offer these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of commitment, is 294, One Day. As we stand and as we sing, our altar is open, but I pray that our hearts will be open, that we might truly find that restoration that Christ comes to bring. Hymn number 294.